Hi there, Vet Blast podcast listeners. Missed out on Fetch this year or looking to revisit your favorite sessions? You are in luck. Fetch On Demand is here to bring you practical, real-world, continuing education anytime, anywhere. No matter your schedule, you can access expertly curated content that's designated to meet the challenges you face every day in your clinic. From cutting-edge medical insights to hands-on practice tips, Fetch On Demand is your ultimate resource for staying at the forefront of veterinarian medicine. So what are you waiting for? Visit dvm360events.com, click on Demand, and start learning at your pace today. Fetch On Demand, education without limits.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. We have a wonderful friend and great colleague of ours, board certified veterinary toxicologist, Dr. Renee Schmidt in the house. How are you, my friend?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Can we finally say happy spring?
Oh, finally. Yes, for sure. Yeah. It's been a long winter.
Q1 was such a long year.
I agree. It always is.
Right? Always is. But happy to say that spring is here. And to the listeners, with spring comes some toxins that we should be certainly mindful of on our differential diagnoses list when our patients are presenting to us. So we're going to chat a little bit about some of the things that you should be mindful of around the country, too, because it certainly varies on where you live throughout the country. And a little bit of information about Dr. Schmidt. She is the Director of Veterinary Medicine and Senior Veterinary Toxicologist at the Pet Poison Helpline. And she's a graduate from Kansas State University. Go
Wildcats.
There you go. And so she's also on the DVM 360 editorial advisory board with us. And I'm so happy to share the stage with her as we present some of our topics, which I think to the listeners is really cool. And if you're interested in hearing more of that, let us know, especially me who puts on the conferences here at Fetch. We do something from the generalist to the specialist. And this talk that we give really resonates, doesn't it? Like It does.
Yeah. And I love it because I was in practice for 13, 14 years before settling on toxicology. And so I think that our talks give people when they're out in practice, what do you need to know? What is going to be helpful for you while you're treating those patients and they're right there in front of you?
Yeah, no, and I love it. And I'm always learning from you all the time, which is great. So, and again, to the listeners, if you happen to be around any of the conference areas, make sure you check out her sessions. She's very practical, gives such great digestible information, just like she's about to hear on the podcast. She's dropping pearls of wisdom left and right here. Okay, so, you know, thank goodness it's nice out. We're going to be outside. We're going to be planting some things, of course. And so let's start with a little bit of the fertilizers, because what's the situation with fertilizers? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, so most of the time, residential fertilizers are just going to be more of a stomach upset issue. There's certainly ones where we have to be a little bit more concerned about if they contain iron, depending on the concentration of iron. A lot of the different types of iron that are there, they're more of an oxide, more of an iron oxide, so they aren't absorbed as easily as, say, a dietary supplement would be. But if you get into a larger amount, that certainly could be more of an iron concern for the animal. And the other thing, depending on if they contains blood meal or bone meal, then we can see potential pancreatitis developing from those as well. And so those are a lot of the types of things we want to be watch out for. Milorganite, which contains a sewage sludge. For some reason, it's kind of special in its own way. You can see actually some neurologic signs, some ataxia and lethargy developing from that one. But for the most part, if you just go to the lawn and garden center and you pick up that bag of a weed killer or fertilizer that you're either putting on using liquid or the powder formula, the granules, it's not going to be a big issue.
Okay, that's good to know. Definitely good to know. But we do know that there are certain flowers that we need to be mindful of, especially during the springtime. So lilies tend to be one of them, right? And we have some of the holidays that are here are approaching. So what should we know about lilies?
Yeah, I don't think we can ever talk about lilies enough in veterinary medicine.
Yeah.
So lilies, when we think about that, a lot of times what automatically comes to our mind are those renal toxic lilies, those lilies that are going to cause kidney failure in cats. And those are certainly ones that we are kind of the most heightened in awareness for. Probably because they're very common in landscaping. So this is springtime is going to be the time of year where we're just going to start to see some of those plants coming back up out of the ground. But then also with fresh cut bouquets. So Mother's Day will be right around the corner. Everybody, don't forget your mom. Get
Yes.
them some flowers going. And those renal toxic lilies, like your Asiatics, your Oriental lilies, stargazer lilies, those things are common to be in a fresh cut bouquet. Rose lilies, that's a newer hybrid over the last few years. It's very common. And so any part of that plant's going to be toxic. And so something we have to be really careful about. And a lot of times we don't think about that. We have an indoor cat. I don't need to worry about flowers or plants, or my cat never gets up on the table until you bring home a fresh bouquet of flowers. And then they get into that and start chewing. And any portion of that plant's going to be toxic.
Yep. And when we look at bulbs, for instance, I remember hearing about tulips and hyacinths. If there's a large ingestion of the bulb, there's more severe symptoms associated with that. Am I right in that area?
Yeah, you got it. And we don't know why. We don't know necessarily what that mechanism is, but we can see some neurologic signs with that. So we can see some ataxia and tremors if we end up having the bulbs ingested, depending on which one, maybe some cardiovascular changes as well. If you have a Labrador that ingests two or three full bulbs, they're the Hoover vacuums of the dog breed, and they just swallow things whole. A lot of times it's going to be more of a foreign body issue. But if you've got that bag of bulbs that are sitting next to you on the ground while you're trying to plant them and you walk off and don't think about it, and the next thing you know, you come back and that bag is empty, definitely might see some more significant signs than just stomach upset.
Okay, got it. I had a dog years ago that ate daffodils. And I'll never forget this because I remember she just happened to say it so quickly because she didn't think that was the reason why the dog presented like was coming in. Because my understanding, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but this dog ate daffodils and instantly vomited so quickly. So she's like, "Oh, it's not the daffodils. Something is making my dog sick." But I'm like, it is a daffodils. Daffodils can cause immediate emesis. Is that right?
For sure, they can. It could be delayed by a little bit, depending, there's so much individual animal variability as to how affected they're going to be or how much they ingest in that one particular time. But for sure, if somebody says that my pet just ingested daffodils and then right away vomited, probably a daffodil.
But they're so pretty, though,
They are pretty. Yeah,
Come
they're
on.
beautiful. And so as a toxicologist, I often get asked, what type of plants aren't, will I not have around with my dogs and cats? And I certainly will have daffodils and tulips around. They're beautiful flowers. And if my cat or dog were to take a couple of nibbles, I wouldn't be too concerned by that. Definitely am going to keep the bulbs out of reach, though.
Yeah, definitely keep those bulbs out of reach. What about Lily of the Valley?
Yeah, so lily of the valley, and that brings up a good topic, a good comment, because a lot of plants with lilies in the name are not necessarily the renal toxic lily. So lily of the valley is one of them. They contain cardiac glycosides. So we're going to see cardiac issues, heart rate changes, blood pressure changes, arrhythmias developing with that as well. Another one would be like peace lilies and calla lilies. Peace lilies and calla lilies, have insoluble calcium oxalate crystals. And so they're going to cause a lot of oral pain and maybe some esophageal and gastric pain, but they're not going to be a concern for any type of renal toxicity.
And last one is crocus.
Yeah, so crocus, we can see some cardiovascular changes with. These are normally more of the autumn crocus. So the ones that are blooming that I think of that bloom, kind of first in the spring, those are usually just going to be GI upset.
All right, so we got the plans out of the way there, but it is spring cleaning time, so hopefully to the listeners, you're cleaning out the bedrooms and doing everything a little once over before you have company come over and celebrating and having some backyard barbecues. And with that comes some cleaning supplies that we need to be a little mindful of. So are there any ones in particular that we have to really be cautious of?
Yeah, so I think of the ones that they have a powerful job to do. So you know, anybody who's watched you on social media, Adam, knows how you love to exercise and lift weights. And so I think about the cleaners that they've got a big job. So those are going to be your oven cleaners, your toilet bowl cleaners, your drain openers. If you are somebody who just on a schedule every, you know, spring and fall, maybe you pour that Drano down the drain to kind of keep things flowing a little bit more. Those are really corrosive products. And so when an animal were to get into that, we can see some pretty significant corrosive lesions to the mouth and the esophagus, even into the stomach. Certainly if they get it onto their skin or anywhere on their mouth, we can see corrosive effects from that as well. And then you have other spring cleaning things that maybe aren't being used as, you know, they're more like me. They're a little bit more wimpy. They're not as powerful. And so those ready to use products where there's window cleaners or you're cleaning the countertop or the cabinets or something like that. Those are usually just going to be stomach upset, but any of them can be, you know, more significant of a concern, especially if the vomiting continues. Yeah. And causes dehydration or just some secondary problems.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that you taught me, and the listeners, and if you listened to our podcast last year, I think we did one on winter. And, you know, we do have relatives that are going to be coming over, staying with us. We have the holidays, Easter, Passover that's coming, and, you know, just doing outdoor barbecues. And one thing you always mention, Dr. Schmidt, is, you know, these relatives have prescription medications that they come with. And sometimes it's always like to be a little funny, be like, oh, what's happening in the guest room? And they can get into some of these things, right?
Yeah. And anytime a holiday comes up, we tend to see an increase in the number of calls with the story is that somebody was visiting the house and the animal got into either their bag, their purse, or their suitcase that's, you know, sitting on the ground. And I don't know how you travel with medications or supplements. A lot of people travel with it. They just throw them in a baggie so they don't have to mess with a container. And so then that can be a little bit more ready access for that animal to be able to get into something. And then also sometimes people don't remember what it is that they're taking. They know that they're taking maybe a specific heart medication, but they don't know what the strength is or how many they actually threw in the bag or something like that. So definitely a time of year, like you said, you know, Easter and then even Memorial Day coming down the road and 4th of July, if you're traveling with your pet or you're going to a place that has pets, make sure to keep that medication, even over-the-counter supplements. Just because it doesn't have a prescription to it doesn't mean it's safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, hopefully we're going to be barbecuing outside and grilling, and we have some really great foods that's out there. And of course, you know, the smell, they can't help it, Dr. Schmidt. I'm telling you, I got the dachshunds. They look at me, they give me those eyes like they're in a Sarah McLachlan commercial. But, you know, there are some toxins that we have to avoid, right?
Yeah. So, you know, especially onions and garlic. So anything that is, you know, that onion dip that you love to put those wavy lays.
Oh, so good.
And, you know, anything that you might be seasoning with a meat or something that has onion and garlic, that's something that animals don't have a high tolerance for. There's a pretty low minimum toxic dose or an area of concern for that. We can see red blood cell breakdown. And so this can be really detrimental, especially to cats. Cats are more sensitive than dogs are. And it can be the onion, fresh onion or garlic itself. Maybe it's onion powder or garlic salt or garlic powder. And those can even be more concerning because they're a little bit more concentrated than what that fresh product would be.
Yeah. And lastly, we love to take our dogs out with us too. We like to go to the oceans and swim with them, or sometimes we have saltwater pools. So talk to us about saltwater toxicity.
Yeah. So definitely salt is a big issue in dogs and cats. Probably dogs are being more exposed for those same reasons that you just said, going out to the ocean a little bit more and enjoying those things. And if they're ingesting a large amount of that salt water, then they can definitely have an elevation to salt. And that is something that we can see then a lot of neurologic signs developing. These guys can have difficulty walking. They can have body tremors. They can have seizures developing. It's something that needs very aggressive care and is very life-threatening for these guys.
Very life threatening. And I live at the Jersey Shore, and our practice, we saw at least one a weekend of a dog that had salt toxicity because we're right by the ocean. And it's just so sad because it happens so quickly, you know? And
it
first
does.
You think they are. And so there was a couple of dogs actually bloated from that, just from ingesting so much. But others, it's just it's really bad. They look like they are down and out, is really what it is. It's just it's scary, you know?
Yeah, it is. And where they're getting exposed, there's not a clinic on the shore in
Right.
most situations. And so it takes a while to get there. And it's going to take a while for that, for that pet parent to understand, to notice, gosh, there's something going on. There's something wrong
Yes.
with them. And by the time those signs develop, and they will worsen very rapidly by the time they get into the clinic. And so the best thing to do is, if who doesn't want to take their dog with them to the beach? And so if that happens, certainly try to keep them on the shore if you can. And if you do allow them to be in the water, try to make sure that they're not a dog that just is favorably wanting to drink, ingest a lot of water, but really limit the amount of time that they're in that water
Right.
itself.
Absolutely. Well, who's ready for spring with all these great toxins?
I'm ready for spring, that's for sure.
No, this is excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. And tell the listeners where we can learn more about the Pet Poison Helpline.
Yeah, you bet. You can find us on the internet at petpoisonhelpline.com.
Awesome. Dr. Renee Schmidt, thank you for dropping those pearls of wisdom with us. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time. We're here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.